he was in trouble again. I will admit, I didn't think it was going to come down yesterday, but that's exactly what happened. And so with that in mind, I want to say a huge thank you to Shotgun Spratling, USCFootball.com and 24/7 Sports, who's about to join us. In fact, let's just bring him up there. Shotgun, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I got to ask the question before we get into all this. How did you get the nickname Shotgun?
I actually got it in T-ball, and I've had it ever since.
I love it. So you're not working under center.
No, we got to stay. You know, I was a wide receiver in high school, so we got to stay at four wides. We got to, you know, use those receivers as much as possible.
I like it. So if I had gotten a hold of you yesterday morning and I had asked you the question, hey, do you think they'll fire Clay Helton today? What would your answer have been?
I would have said no, because, you know, Clay Helton normally has a, you know, a Sunday press conference call with the media to discuss what happened in Saturday's game, and I would have expected if there was going to be a move, they would probably have done it before then. So when nothing, you know, when we still had our normal Sunday meeting with him, then, you know, you would think, okay, he's definitely in a really rough spot. And I actually said to my colleagues, we have a Sunday live show that we do after the conference call. And I said after, I was like, if they don't play well at Washington State this weekend, even if they win, but if they just don't look good, then maybe that'll be it, because you see that they have Oregon State at home next week, and maybe you could, you know, put the interim coach in there and you could get some momentum going and build a little confidence against a team that you should beat. And so that was my thinking. Then when it came down, you know, it was, we had just finished a film study that we do at USCFootball.com, and, you know, we're going over that, and we're like, oh, everything is happening. And because there's been a couple of close calls throughout his tenure where, you know, it's like, is he going to be fired? It seems like he should be, and it hasn't happened. So then when it did, you know, we went into full sprint mode, went to the studio, did some live shows and stuff. But, yeah, a little bit surprising that it came because on Sunday it didn't come. It hadn't already happened on Sunday night.
Why do you think they did it yesterday?
I mean, you said it in your intro that, you know, that it feels like it's something you've seen before, basically. And that's the thing. One of the reasons that they mentioned in the press release that they sent out is that, you know, they added a bunch of resources. They've, you know, brought in some quality staffers behind the scenes to help with a bunch of stuff. They've added small pieces all around him. And it was the same thing over again. It was the same team that we've seen in the past struggle early in the season with discipline issues, with just not being ready at the beginning of the year, with struggling last year. I mean, I think it's 7 of the last 8 games they haven't scored a touchdown in the third quarter. So it's the same issues over and over again in Clay Helton's tenure. And I think that was it. It was that we've added all these resources from the USC administration side, and we don't see a difference. So they feel like that they've done enough to help out this program, that they should be doing better and progressing, and they felt like they were seeing the same thing over again. And, you know, this season is still salvageable, but I feel like if they kept Clay Helton, it was going to go in the same track that it has in the past, where it just wasn't going to be as good as it could be. So I think they decided, we know that it's inevitable now, let's go ahead and make the move and see if we can turn things around with Dante Williams as the interim head coach.
It seemed like he had no support left among the Southern Cal fan base. Is that pretty accurate?
I mean, I think they showed their lack of support with their actions on Saturday. At the end of the third quarter, you know, Stanford scored with about a minute left in the third quarter, and everyone headed for the exits pretty much. It went from a 60 or 70,000 fan crowd to probably like 10,000. I mean, it felt like a spring game out there. Just there was just not a bunch of, you know, and the student section, I give them credit, they stayed, but the rest of the fan base, they basically felt like, I've seen this before, why am I going to stay? I think that they were done with it. And I think they spoke with their actions during that game. I think they've also spoken with their inaction as far as renewing season tickets and, you know, donating money and things like that. So I think that the administration, you know, had seen that the fans were done with Clay Helton. And we, you know, on our message boards and stuff, we've had people say, I love you guys, but I can't subscribe anymore just because it's the same thing over and over, and I'm tired of it. So until they get rid of Helton, we get these messages all the time. Until they get rid of Helton, I gotta not follow USC football as closely anymore.
Yeah.
So, we actually had a lot of people sign back up yesterday saying, hey, I can come back and be interested again. But, yeah, I think that they had shown with their actions that, they were just over it.
I'm going to ask you one last thing and then turn it over to Watson. What was the magic formula where you've had a series of failures before and after Pete Carroll? When he walked in, it wasn't like people were just gaga over him, but he appeared to have the Midas touch. In your mind, what was that Midas touch?
I mean, I believe Pete Carroll understood what needed to happen at USC. He was a very personable person. Southern California has its own kind of, personality type, and he really bought into it. The energy that he brought, I just don't think it's been matched by anyone else. And he understood how important competition is. And he got the best players to come to USC and then made them to compete against each other. And when you have Reggie Bush and Lindell White, those guys could be like, man, I should get the ball every single time. But they played with each other and they competed against each other in practice because they wanted to be the one to score that touchdown on Saturday. So I think that was the thing that's kind of been lacking. And, it started since Lane Kiffin took over and he had to deal with sanctions. So they pulled back the practice range a little bit because they didn't want to get some guys injured. And then there's been some small steps like that along the way where this practice hasn't been as competitive as it was during Clay Helton's tenure. During Pete Carroll's tenure. So I think that's one of the things that's been an issue for USC is the competition factor there. If they can get back to that, then I think that they can get back to, being the dominant program on the West Coast because it's such a fertile recruiting ground here in Southern California. If they can keep their players here, as you're seeing, the preseason Heisman Trophy watch list was, or odds, I think it was 5 of the top 6 were from Southern California. So, I think that shows you that if you can keep the talent home, then there's going to be plenty of talent on the roster.
Shotgun Spratling is on the line with us with USCFootball.com and 24/7 Sports. Watson, what do you got for him?
Shotgun, it's always a little different with each one of these, and it seems to be more of the norm now than the exception, letting guys go early. How did the players react? Has it been a little bit of everything, or what have you heard from those guys?
It definitely is that you're seeing it much earlier. And I think a big part of that is the early signing period that plays into it. That if you can't wait around because, if you lose a recruiting class, then you can be really in trouble for the next guy that's coming in. But as far as the players go, there was a good 3 or 4 hour window before any of them made any comments, at least publicly, as far as social media and whatnot. And, all the players really respect Clay Helton and, love him as a person. So you saw an outpouring of support of guys posting, about Clay Helton and, that they're going to miss him. And, they appreciate a lot of people saying they appreciate the opportunity that he gave them. But I don't think that there were a lot of guys that were saying this shouldn't happen and were in tears in, a similar way that when Ed Orgeron didn't get the job, that was what happened when they hired Steve Sarkisian. They went and had a team meeting, and there were a lot of guys in tears because they had been fighting for him so hard during that year after Lane Kiffin had been fired at USC. So I don't think that was the thing. I think the players kind of realized it. And, talking with some of them, especially on Saturday, when there's 25, 30, 40,000 people booing your head coach, and, metaphorically and kind of literally, he's in the middle of the field. The players are on the sideline in between. So they're kind of these boos are raining down on them. When 40,000 people are telling you that is not the guy with their boos, how do you go into the locker room and then say, yeah, I'm going to listen to him and I'm going to run through a wall for him when so many people are saying, differently from the fan side. So I think they were kind of in a hard spot. And hopefully, the biggest thing for them will be, can they unite around this and Saturday's loss and say it's us against the world and kind of come together and play much better going the rest of the season.
What do you think, Shotgun, where did Clay go wrong? Was it just Southern California is such a star-oriented area? Was it just too big for him, or did he do some things you felt like that he just never got corrected?
So Clay Helton, when he came in, he calmed everything. There had been so much turmoil, so much mess with Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin. He really calmed things. And he may have been the right hire at the time because of that, but he just, it wasn't a job that he was qualified for. He had no head coaching experience, and you know, he was very slow to make changes. That was one of the things that we call for over and over, whether it be, you know, they got beat up in the Cotton Bowl a few years ago by Urban Meyer's Ohio State team, and the offensive line was just terrible in the game. But he kept on Neil Callaway, the offensive line coach, until halfway through the next season, and they still struggled, and then they tried to make a move. It just seemed like they would wait too long to make moves, and there was just times when we would be calling for, make some adjustments in practice. You know, don't do the same thing over and over again just because you want to be in a routine. You know, if things aren't going right, it's 18 to 22-year-olds. Sometimes you got to shake things up. So I just think he was slow to make some adjustments that he could have made a little bit earlier, and I think that hurt him a little bit. But then, you know, it just ended up being the same things. The same things would pop up over and over, and that was a big thing, just the penalties, the lack of discipline, those type of things. And then their struggles in the trenches. That was the biggest area of concern coming into the season, and that's something that has been lingering because of their recruiting woes the last few years inside the trenches. They've really struggled to recruit those elite offensive linemen.
This reminds me, Shotgun, of Alabama, for me being around that when I was at UAB and watching them go through Francione and Price, and just nothing worked past Gene Stallings. And they said, the heck with this, we got to go get a name guy. Don't you think Southern Cal is at that point now in the same where Alabama was?
Yeah, I actually used Alabama, referenced them on our live show yesterday, is that, you know, people say, is USC done? Can they never come back? No. You look at Alabama, and they were such in the doldrums during that period. But if you get the right head coach with a blue blood program, they will turn things around. And doesn't necessarily need to be a name coach. Pete Carroll was their fourth or fifth choice when they hired him, but he completely turned things around. It just has to be the right fit. USC traditionally hasn't gone after and got the big names. So that'll be interesting to see, but I think this new administration that came in a couple years ago, we've liked a lot of the moves that they've made as far as behind the scenes, you know, with the assistant coaches they brought in, the strength coach, a lot of the things that they've done have been really positive developments for the program. So I got a little bit more faith that they will go out and make a very smart decision and find the right coach, rather than the last couple of coaching searches, which haven't really been coaching searches. They've hired the firms and whatnot to help them with the coaching searches, and then went down the hallway and hired the Clay Helton, or went and got Pat Hayden's, you know, buddy, his drinking buddy, actually, Steve Sarkisian. So, you know, those type of things can't happen. They need to find the right fit, the right guy, rather than just being, you know, somebody's buddy.
Shotgun, I got 30 seconds. If you had to stake your life on it, who gets this job?
Whew, that's a tough one. I mean, the easiest answer, I think, is Luke Fickell, just because of the connections with Mike Bone from Cincinnati. But I think that they're going to look even deeper than that. I don't think it's going to be cut and dry like that, like some people think it might be.
I owe you huge. I really appreciate what you did on short notice.
Well, no problem. I'm a Maryville College alum, so I appreciate coming on radio in Tennessee.
You know, I thought there was a little background there. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Shotgun Spratling joining us here on the show. We're going to come back. And then we're going to get a little deeper into the whole Southern Cal mess, because it is a mess. And it's got